Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today I'll be interviewing Chris Felton. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Did you always want to be an accountant when you were growing up?
No, I actually thought I was going to be a coach, and I just realized it didn't pay very well. And I love to coach people, but I wanted to serve people and go to the bank in that order. I wanted to make sure that I was, creating financial independence for me and my family. So in college, I switched to accounting, which was a great choice. It's a great degree to have. Can use it anywhere.
So what was the defining moment to make you, that caused you to switch from CPA to being an entrepreneur and seeking financial freedom?
Yeah, I mean, I was, Anderson was the largest accounting firm in the world until they ran into Enron. And I was gone before that happened, but you were kind of an intrapreneur in that organization. So, very young age, you had a lot of responsibility and, there was no excuses and you had to be super proactive and you had to bust your butt. You had to get stuff done. There was deadlines. And so I always said 1 year there was like 5 years on the outside. And I had my turning point week was we had a deadline that fell the Monday after Easter Sunday, and it was a publicly traded mortgage company, and they were a disaster. We were way behind. I was supervising 8 people, and Easter to my mom was she passed in 01, but before that, Easter was her holiday. And when I told her that it was looking like I wasn't sure I was going to be there for Easter, she kind of gave you that look that only mom can give you, Maurice.
Yeah.
Which is figured out, or there'll be a smoking crater where you once stood. So I figured it out, and it just included, drinking a ton of coffee and no sleep. So I worked 120 hours in a 6-day period and got the deadline done about midnight the Saturday before Easter Sunday. And I came home and my brother was waiting up for me. We owned a house together and he didn't know what happened to me. He didn't know if I was a drug dealer or if I was if I got kidnapped. He was leaving me voicemails and emails, and he started getting in my kitchen and asking me questions. You know, when you're that exhausted, the last thing you want to do is have a conversation.
True.
And I didn't like what he was doing, but he woke me up out of this hypnotic rhythm, this hypnotic trance, Maurice, that we find ourselves in. As you probably know, 91% of our thoughts today are the same as they were yesterday. And so if we don't work on changing our thinking, our world isn't going to change. And so sometimes we need things to shake us up to start thinking. The pandemic has been horrific, but I think one of the blessings of it was it kind of woke people up and got them to think. Anyway, that was my moment with my brother. And so the next day I actually grabbed Think and Grow Rich and noticed the think part before you grow rich. And I was blown away at what I was reading because I'd never heard of any of the concepts in there. And the fact that the majority of the people that Napoleon Hill in that book interviewed, from Edison to Ford to Alexander Graham Bell to Woolworth to Wrigley, Rockefeller, 8 presidents, 5 prime ministers, at the behest of Andrew Carnegie, and that what that book is, it's the common denominator. It made all 500 successful. It's an amazing book. Still read it today. I'm staring at it at my desk. But they were all on a mission to make a difference. And I thought they were on a mission just to make a lot of money, but no, they actually wanted to make a difference. And the bigger the problem they solved, the more money they made. So they were mission driven first. And then the second thing that blew me away, Maurice, was they all had these things called dreams. And I was like, oh, wait, I remember those. When I was six, I thought I was going to play in the NFL. That didn't work out too well, being, you know, 5'11 and slow white guy that I am. And, but they all had these dreams. And so what happened was I started really thinking about this thing called, you know, your ideal life. What does it look like? What is it? And, I got excited, but I got really depressed because I knew that the vehicle I was in was never going to get me what I wanted. And the decision is I either needed to change the vehicle or give up on what I have, or give up on my dreams, which is what most people do. My favorite quote of Martin Luther King is, most men and women die at 18. We just wait till they're 65, 75, 85 to bury them.
Mm.
And that's what I find. Anyway, so I was like, I got to find the vehicle. So long and short, took me about a year, but I landed on, you know, what I do now, which is teach people how money works. And, you know, did it in the nooks and crannies of my life and part-time, and then went full-time in February 2000, fired my boss, and, you know, amazing things have happened, for us. And, it's been a blessing. But it's, I was in Atlanta last week giving a talk on, the problem with dreams. And, my mentor told me a long time ago, he said, the problem with dreams is if you don't do something about them, those dreams won't come true. and how sad that would be. So anyway, it was just, you know, I started dreaming again, and I started really thinking about it, and I just didn't want to get to the end of my life and have regrets, for not taking the risk and going for it. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, it's worked out. But now that's one of the reasons I'm on your podcast and doing a lot of speaking, is I want to help as many people as possible, millions and millions of people, live their ideal life.
Where was the money pain in your life that made you want to expand? Because there's always something that uncomfortableness, like, they say the oyster produces the pearl through the agitation, you know, between the shell and that oyster, it produces that pearl. So where was the agitation, money-wise, that you found yourself in?
Yeah, I mean, really, from that moment when I went full-time being an entrepreneur, you know, fast forward 4 years, you know, past that, you know, I went full-time as an entrepreneur, went from, you know, no salary to zero. Also decided to get married, also decided to have my first child all at the same time, pretty much. And didn't have a strong first marriage. And, this is all, resolved itself in miraculous ways. I call it the hand of God, but, forgiveness is powerful, Maurice. we could do a whole show on the power of forgiveness, but my ex-wife and I, you know, separated. My kids were small. They moved to Atlanta. And then I married my second and last wife, who co-authored our book. She actually wrote most of it. She's put my name on it because of the title, called Couples Money. It would have looked weird without, you know, a couple on there. But so I gave the appearance that I was really successful at my business. I was getting a lot of recognition. I was winning a lot of trips, awards. But I was a financial disaster. I was $250,000 in unsecured debt. A lot of that was to pay my ex-wife. But I also had the need to look a certain way, overspend, have the house, have the car, just create a tremendous amount of debt, made stupid decisions, signed bad leases. And so Marlo marries me and thinks it's all good. We keep our money separate. She doesn't really know what's going on. And she kept wanting to manage the money in our home. She's like, well, we need to get together. She's like, I want to do it. And I kept kind of pushing her off, saying, well, you know, I'm a CPA, I'm a financial advisor, I got it all going, which I didn't. And so it was getting really bad, Maurice. And then I just decided I got to start really diving head first into personal growth and development. And, you know, Wayne Dyer's like, hey, go meditate. So there was no quiet place in our house. So I was in the garage meditating. It's February. I'm freezing my butt off in Colorado and trying to get some answers from the above. And it was clear as day. It was, you know, we get, especially when you have goals, we get these intuitive hits. And what I find, Maurice, is people don't trust them, and they don't take action on the intuition. And so I always tell people to trust themselves. And I didn't know about all that, but the message was, you know, let your wife do it, hand the money over to her. And you know, Mel Robbins is out there, you know, promoting her new book, but you know, the 5-second rule book that she wrote of, you know, when you get intuitive hits, if you don't take action within 5 seconds, your ego, your brain starts talking you out of it. And so you got to do something, whether it's send a text to somebody or send yourself an email or write it down or call somebody, but immediate action is necessary to keep the dream alive, so to speak. And so anyway, I just moved and I got out of the car. I came in, told Marlo, hey, here's the checkbooks, here's the bank statements, here's all these things. It's all yours. She was shocked that I was giving up control on it. Well, she got through everything. And then, like, literally, I'm washing dishes. And if you've ever had your spouse or significant other, you knew they were watching you. You could just feel their presence, right? And I look up and she had a look on her face I hope to never see again. And it was just, she could not believe how bad things were. And so then we had I call it the come to Marlo meeting, which was awesome. We sat down and she introduced a 4-letter word called a budget to me. And, you know, I didn't want to look at it. And that's when I realized one of my favorite quotes is optimism and delusion sleep in the same bed together. And I didn't want to look at it. I wanted to stay optimistic, but I was massively delusional. It got worse. And then the boiling point to answer your question was, you know, I had to pay my ex $5,200 at the beginning of the month for alimony and child support. And it was the 31st of, I can't remember what month it was, but it was about 2008 and I didn't have the money. And so I couldn't take out credit card check. I couldn't do any of that stuff. I mean, it was really bad. My lines of credit were maxed. Mm-hmm. So I had to go home, Maurice, and convince my wife, cause she had savings, to give me the money to pay my ex-wife. Mm. How do you think that went over?
It sounds tough.
Well, it was brutal. And everyone's like, man, you're a good sales guy. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. So I asked, and then she flipped, man. And she's about 5'1" and everybody in my office is scared of her. And so the Hurricane Marlo came out and she just, you know, the volcano erupted, the repressed feelings of just being broke and craziness. And then she's cursing at me and yelling at me. And we have a lot of fun acting this out on stage, but I just said, well, why are we still married? And silence, mm-hmm. The argument stopped. She went upstairs and then that was my bottoming out right there. And that's when I had the epiphany that wherever I've had a money problem in my life, I've always been there. And I was the common denominator of all my problems. And it was really the first time, Maurice, in my life I'd taken 100% responsibility. I'm like, oh my God, I created this whole disaster. So I sat there, I thought, and I'm like, man, dad's broke, mom's broke, grandma's broke, grandpa's broke, great grandma, great grandpa. I'm like, oh my, it's generational. So it didn't matter if I was a financial advisor and a CPA and knew what to do. I had some jacked up belief systems around money and it was time to remake the golf swing. And so the next day, Marlo, she's like, well, we're staying together. We're not declaring bankruptcy. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to go fly around. I'm going to find world-class couples that are very wealthy, but not just wealthy in money, relationships, health, spiritual lives, kids, all that. I'm going to figure out what they do. She's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going all in on my belief systems. I'm going to treat this like an Olympic athlete would treat their sport. I am all in. I'm going to get this thing figured out. And I'm going to shift. I'm going to work. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to study. I'm going to read it. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to journal. If I have to stand on my head for an hour, I'm going to do it. But I was all in, still all in on it, committed, convicted. And what happened, Maurice, is we met in the middle, and just jaw-dropping transformation happened for her and I. And it's been amazing. And so that's why we wrote our book. And that's, you know, we want to give people that hope, but not just hope, just the actual tools and the strategies to do the same, because there's a lot of people hurting. So
it's interesting that the first time you were willing to take responsibility for where you were financially, and it's not about blame at all, but it empowered you to then do something, because as long as you're able to blame someone else or blame a situation, you would not have to do anything, because it's not about you. It's about this or it's about that. But when people need to understand that if something is happening in your life, you should take responsibility for it, whatever part you can change, because there are things that we can do. There are things that we can do. You got up early, you were willing to read, study, work, do whatever it needs to take. And when we get to that place, we can begin to change things, because the dream by itself does nothing. It's impotent. But when we begin to put action into place, it will become realized.
Yeah, and I also, you know, I hired a coach for 4 years, and I mean, it's unbelievable what he taught me. But one of the things is he said, Chris, you no longer have a money problem. You have a money project. And that view, we view problems and projects totally separate. And problem almost makes it seem like there's not a lot you can do about it. But a project, you know, gives you the image of, you know, putting on the overalls and getting to work. And that's, you know, that's what I did. That's what we did. And also, you know, I think a lot of people, Maurice, when they know they have challenges and there's work to be done, I think they question whether it's going to be worth it. And I've made a lot of mistakes and failed a bunch and screwed up a bunch. But, you know, that's one thing I've never had a challenge with, where I was just like, you know what, whatever it takes to get it done, it's ultimately going to be worth it. And that's one of the messages I want to get out to people, because I think a lot of people in their mind, they try to negotiate the price. And is the price worth it? And, you know, should I or shouldn't I? And they stay in that realm of vacillation of whether it's going to be worth it or not. And I don't know. I think I started in college just interviewing successful people wherever I could find them. And I never met a successful person that told me it wasn't worth it. Right? I mean, it's absolutely. Yeah. Very blessed.
Yeah. So, Chris, how can people begin to change their mindset if their money is not what it should be or what they desire for it to be? How can they begin to change their mindset?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's important to, you know, one of my favorite formulas is, you know, there's me plus my thinking equals my result. And you can apply it to health, money, you know, relationships. I mean, spirituality, you know, I mean, so here's my result. There's me and there's my thinking. And once you make the connection that your thinking does create your world, and if you, you know, if you haven't figured that out yet, then, you know, read up and study on it. But for me, it's just always like, okay, here's the result. What is my thinking? And so I'm a big believer in, you know, a financial GPS, and, you know, you have point A and you have point B in your GPS. And point A is really, okay, I don't like my money situation. So what stories do I make up about money? And I think, you know, we as humans, we are great storytellers.
Yes.
So that was, that gave me a lot of hope in the fact that if I could just come to the realization of what I'm making up about money, because it wasn't working for me. So sitting down with a money journal, I have journals everywhere because I want to capture my thinking and what's creating that result. And so just sitting down point A and going, what am I making up about it? And so for me, I just borrowed it from my parents, which is where we get most of it. And those beliefs get handed down from generation to generation. And most people never, ever question the validity of it. And the term's called metacognition, and it's the ability to think about what you're thinking about. And most people don't have that skill, the ability to think about what you're thinking about. And journaling, and when you take a pen to a pad of paper, powerful things happen. Your 100-million-year-old reptilian brain stops, and you focus. And so it was no secret why I was broke, because I wrote things down like making money is hard. Mm. Saving money is hard. Rich people are crooks. Got that from my dad. They make money on the back. They make money on the backs of poor people. My mom told us money, you either have it or you don't. It's like, Maurice, we didn't have a choice in it. You know, like you're either born into money, you got it, or you're broke. You know, so just going through that, but it was the hard part. I had another mind virus called one day. One day, I'll get there. That's a subtle one. And my coach was like, why not now? So that's where I would, you know, that's where I would start is, you know, where's my point A? And then where's my point A with you know, my mindset, where's my point A with you know, my thinking, where's my point A with my net worth? And then getting really clear about where's my point B? What do I really want? And if I'm going to have those things, then what must I believe to have those things? So I had to replace that story with, well, what if making and saving big money was easy? That's a good one.
So someone, well, what would you say to people who are listening that they may not feel like they're making a lot of money? You know, they're, say they're making 40 or 50,000 a year, even below. Is it possible for them to still create a good financial situation for themselves before they retire? Are there some things they can do to make this happen?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, going through this process and, you know, reading up on money mindset, like, okay, I need to shift my money and my money habits, my money mindset. And that's where it starts. And I read you probably heard the book, Maurice, Secrets of a Millionaire Mind, right? That's a great book to grab.
Yes.
And one of the things that T. Harv Eker says in there that transformed my life is, he said, until you start managing the money that you have now well, you won't see anymore. Mm. Super powerful. And what I found was I was losing the money game 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks at a time. And I mean, I was blowing it. I was eating out. I was, you know, I just, I did not have what you call a healthy respect for money. My wife back in the day used to do, you know, property management. And so she would go evict people out of their homes. And then eventually she, you know, she would tour the property and she would find loose change everywhere. Mm-hmm. Which meant what? They didn't have respect for money.
True.
And I was in that boat. I didn't have respect for money. So I had to start not losing the money game 5 and 10 bucks at a time. So I think that's where you got to start. But really what people need to understand is you got to make more money because inflation is a lot more than 2% of what the government's telling you.
So is that part of the reason why 96% of Americans retire broke?
Yeah, there's an amazing book out there. And whether you're Christian or not, it doesn't really matter. I would get my hands on it. It's called Evangelpreneur. And even if you just get the book, it's written by Josh Tolley. And what he talks about in there, Maurice, is something called the inflation wave. And and the example he gives in the book is his neighbor who was making $5,000 a year in the 1960s. And his advisor said, pay off your house, put 10% of your income aside. And by the time you retire, if you have 31 times your annual income saved, you're going to be okay. So 30 times $5,000 is 150 grand. Well, guess what? He paid off his house. He saved 150 grand. This is Josh's neighbor. And the neighbor comes over. Josh, I got to sell my house. He's like, why? Because I can't afford my property taxes. They're 4 or 5 times more than my old mortgage payment. And he's like, what happened, Josh? He's like, well, your advisor's great, but what he didn't tell you is that real inflation is 10%, real wage growth is 3%. And this is huge, Maurice. This is one of my big missions, is to make people understand that your boss isn't going to give you 10% wage growth. And Josh has the support for why inflation's 10%. And it's a real number. And it's insane. So, you know, when I sit down with my clients, I'm like, okay, let's take your bills and let's add 50% to them over the next 5 years. Is your income going to keep up? And they're like, no. Well, what are you going to do? So, Maurice, it's a huge, huge, huge problem. And what he talks about in the book, the only way out of the inflation wave is you've got to become a business owner. You got to have a side business, side hustle, side something. So the guy that's making 40 or 50 grand a year, he's going to be losing the money game 7% per year. And I just feel like people are walking around. They don't even know that. And you got to know it. And then you got to do what we did, is sit down and try to figure out ways that you're going to bring new income into your home, other streams of income, other things that you can do, side business, whatever. But anyway, the inflation wave is a huge, ginormous problem.
So thinking of a side business or, you know, owning, you know, something to create wealth or create money is important to be able to, you know, develop some financial freedom, it sounds like.
Yeah. And you know, it's not like it's a new concept. I mean, if you Google the term gig economy, mm-hmm. I mean, that's where we're moving. I mean, that's where, you know, Uber's a gig, Airbnb's a gig, DoorDash is a gig. You know, my business is a professional services version of the gig. But all those have been created because people are realizing that you can't, you just, you just can't get financially independent being an employee. It's impossible. You have to bring more money into your house, and you better get it figured out.
What do you believe back then that you no longer believe now when you had the money issue?
You know, I think the biggest thing is it's just the hard thing. Not that we're not going to have obstacles, Maurice, not that we're not going to have to overcome some things, but one of the concepts that was brought to my attention is something called the hero's journey. And we get programmed as kids by watching, you know, Rocky Balboa overcome great odds to become the heavyweight champ, right? We watch, you know, talk shows growing up, and you know, you didn't get on Oprah's couch unless you overcame great odds and had a great story to tell. So we are programmed that we must overcome big stuff in order to deserve success. And but like I said, part of it's growth, part of it's, you know, the stuff that you got to do to get better, and you're going to have challenges and obstacles. But what happens is a lot of people unconsciously put challenges and obstacles in front of themselves to make sure that they're overcoming, so they have a great story to tell. And it's a little bit of a self-sabotaging behavior. And I did that. I did that a few times. So when I want to go to the next level, I know I need to pop outside my comfort zone. I need to grow. I need to develop. But I also ask myself, well, what if it was easy? And there's a lot of people hearing that are like, no, it's not easy. Well, no, I got it. But what if it was easy? What if there's a quantum leap that can happen that doesn't have to be arduous and hard and all that? So, you know, that it's still in me a little bit. It pops up at times. But that combined with one day I'll be successful. Those were two of my biggest mind viruses that I've done a lot of shifting on.
I know it's important to, you know, start where you are. And there's something that anyone could do right now. They can begin doing right now. And you mentioned it earlier. You talked about eating out. That's something that could save you so much money during a week if people just kept track of what they're spending money on. Like, you know, eating out could, I mean, you can stop eating out and see how much money you save. You can stop getting that Starbucks coffee in the morning or that donut or whatever, and you'd be surprised at what you could do with what you already have. And in addition to that, thinking of different streams of income could begin to change that mindset rather than being in a consumption-based mindset all the time. What can you provide?
Yeah, I mean, there's not to give people too many books to go by, but there's a book out there called Your Money or Your Life. And it's the best definition, Maurice, of money I've ever heard. Money is something that you exchange your life energy for. And the process that he goes through is really pinpointing to the penny how much money you're spending and figuring out what you really make per hour. And so, you know, the guy that's making 50 grand a year, well, you know, his net's much less than that. And then what is the time that he's actually from driving to things? And, you know, it could be, we'll just use an example, it could be 20 bucks an hour. And so if he goes out and blows $1,000 on eating out and, you know, all that stuff, well, $1,000 divided by $20 per hour, he just exchanged $50, or he just exchanged 50 hours of his life for that. And then the question is, was it worth it? Huge awareness. And there are things that are worth it. You know, it's not like we just, my wife and I have fun, but if we're going to go do a big ticket, whatever, we just want to make sure that it's worth it. We have the money saved, but if we're going to take a great trip, we want to create experiences And we're able to do that by cutting out those things where you're spending money and it's not adding any value to your life. Zero. So anyway, something you exchange your life energy for. It's really, really powerful, powerful way to look at your money.
Yeah, that sounds like a really good, interesting take on things. So definitely people should get that book as well. I mean, anything we achieve in life, we have to become passionate about it, you know. So if we really want to solve a money problem, we just have to become passionate about it and focused on solving that problem. It may take getting books. It may take listening to podcast episodes or whatever. By any means necessary, once we get to that point, we can begin to, you know, create some change in our lives.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. The key is doing, you know, a little bit of it every single day. So 30 minutes of study, everybody can grab their calculators on their phones and just say 30 minutes of study, you know, 52 weeks a year, you know, 5-10 years down the road, you're going to grow whether you like it or not. So yes. The compounding of small things is the way you make changes, not trying to change 50 things all at once, for sure.
Yeah. Small changes create big rewards. So that's the keep in mind of the ant. Just do something small. They work together. So start small and, you know, you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish. So you mentioned earlier you and your wife have a book, Couples Money. Was that book inspired out of the, you know, the financial situations that you all were overcoming?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really about, you know, giving people our story, our backdrop of, you know, the mess that we were in. And then the purse throwing incident that night we had the argument, my wife threw her purse and, you know, and then really what do we do to shift and change after my wife spent, you know, all that time interviewing, I think it's 25 different couples and us applying their best practices. And then, you know, once again, me working on my belief systems. But yeah, that's where it started. So we want to bless millions of people with that read and help them have a better life around money.
How can people get in contact with you? Do you have a social media or website?
Yeah, so we got our couplesmoney.com website, and they can get the book there. I also have a complimentary one-hour coaching session that's, you know, $500 normal. You know, that's my hourly rate that I charge. So I can walk people through some of this, so that's complimentary. And if they book that, then I'll fire a book to them complimentary as well. And so we got there, but we also got, you know, our Ultimate Couples Wealth Blueprint out there. That's a 4-week course people could take. We got a lot of great resources. I'm on Instagram posting, you know, five plus days a week on just a lot of these topics of mindset and how to be an entrepreneur. And at Instagram, CF, C as in Charlie, F as in Frank, _ E, the number 2, and then E. And E to E means I want to help people move from being an employee to entrepreneur. So CF _ E to E. I'm on Twitter, dropping some stuff every single day there at CL Felton. And yeah, those are places people can find me.
What's your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
You know, it was in topics of this whole money situation. It was 2007, and it was one of my mentors, and she looked me right in the eyes. I get goosebumps every time I think about this moment. I know right where I was standing. She said, "Chris, you'll never know how good you can be until money's behind you. And you'll never know how good you can be until money's behind you." And meaning, you know, I think we come to this planet, hopefully with God-given gifts, and our role is to maximize those gifts and live a fulfilled life, which only comes through growing yourself and serving others. It's the only way you'll find true fulfillment. And if you're stuck on the struggle bus of money and debt and worry and fear and all that stuff, and I know what financial stress feels like. I lived a big chunk of my life. I watched it destroy my parents, their health, marriage. You know, it's tough to deliver on your gifts. It's tough to dream. It's tough to do a lot of things when you are consumed with stress around money. And so the reason people want to get financially free and financially independent is so they don't have to think about it. They don't have to think about the money. And then you can get super focused on delivering value, helping others. And so that quote changed my world and really stoked desire in me to level up in a big way.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. This podcast has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum. Head over to www.mauriceflournoy.com to receive more motivation and insight to help create your new mind.